1226. Welcome back in the zone. Justin Akery, Matt Stell, CJ McClain hanging out with us, former Razorback. Matty T lining up Jose Canseco. Get his thoughts on the world of Major League Baseball. Got the playoffs going on right now.
What an interesting, enigmatic character.
Without a doubt. Jose Canseco, The Truth Hurts. The world premiere this Saturday at the Arlington Hotel as part of the Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival. I'm actually doing
many great films. Wow. They've got so many great films going. I really hope to catch a bunch of them.
You need to. I'm thrilled that I was on the panel to pick best sports documentary this year. Saw some good ones. The Big Shootout, which is a film that has gotten a lot of attention around here. The Identity Theft of Mitch Mustang, another one. But there are a handful of them that have nothing to do with the state of Arkansas. They're really, really good. There's a very interesting one called Last Woman Standing I talked about yesterday a little bit, about two Canadian female boxers who were vying for one spot. They were number one and number two in the world at their weight class, but they could only one of them could represent Canada in the Olympics. It was an interesting story, but anyway, that's a good one to catch. You get the Linsanity movie. There are so many good flicks down there, but I definitely encourage people to get down there and check it out. I have not had a chance to see the film about Jose Canseco, but we're going to talk to him right now on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Jose Canseco, welcome to The Zone. How are you?
Great being here.
Great. When are you traveling in?
I think I travel in on Friday. Get there in the morning sometime.
Well, okay. Obviously, this film, I'm assuming you've been approached before. So my first question is about why you decided to work with this filmmaker and make The Truth Hurts and how that all came about.
Well, we actually met and knew the idea that I want to put that on film. And we kind of had a vision on trying to get exactly, you know, what happened in the steroid era in my life, why I actually used steroids, why players were kind of not really pushed into using these performance-enhancing chemicals, but allowed to use them, and how Major League Baseball endorsed it, and how Major League Baseball kind of, you know, cast a lot of checks on it, and, you know, what happened in that evolution, and why is Major League Baseball trying to throw it under the carpet? And, of course, you know, you just can't erase an era of steroids and say some players used it, some players didn't use it, and really not allow these players to enter into the Hall of Fame when a lot of them are actually beating the system, and some are already in the Hall of Fame and some will be inducted to the Hall of Fame. So we're just trying to get down to the bare bones fact of everything.
Right. Well, you obviously were able to accomplish some things with the book. What do you want people to take away, you know, from the documentary? And there are people that have their feelings about you, and no matter what they find out about you later on, they're going to kind of formulate their opinions. I'm sure you're not real worried about it at this point, because just about everything you've said has turned out to be, you know, real and true. But what do you want people to take away from the documentary, and what do you want them to think and know about, you know, the sport that you spent so much time playing?
Well, I think they need to get more accurate information and details and really form an opinion on that. I think this film is going to tell you from the horse's mouth exactly what happened there and how it came about. And, you know, what really happened? The final details, not hearsay, not second or third-hand information, not really controlled media information, but what really did take place.
Something that has stood out to me, and it's not so much bothersome, it just seems like an oddity to me, is guys that are embraced and guys that are shunned that were part of the steroid era. A guy like you who has been honest and told the truth, you haven't exactly been embraced back into Major League Baseball. You see a guy like Mark McGwire, your former teammate, who was the hitting instructor for the Dodgers, and they're still playing in the playoffs. A guy like Barry Bonds, who has been ostracized from baseball. It's a little confounding to me. What's your take on all that?
Well, that's why this docu is going to really detail and answer those questions. It's going to answer all the questions that have been left out there, or that really Major League Baseball or the media or certain players answer or cannot answer. All those questions will actually be answered here.
Do you ever think, what would I have been like? What would my career have looked like if I hadn't done it?
Wow. You know, it's impossible to tell. It's kind of ironic because I always say this. I have an identical twin brother, Ozzy, and he's the closest thing genetically there is to me. And he did the same, you know, performance-enhancing drugs, used the same workouts. We ate the same foods. And he never made it to the majors and became a Major League superstar. So that goes to say that PEDs don't make you a whole player, a complete player, don't make you a star at all. The ironic thing is, when I played for the Toronto Blue Jays, I think it was 98, I was not using PEDs at all. I had the best year of my career ever with 46 home runs. I stole 29 bases. I could have done the 40-40 again, but wasn't allowed to steal bases after that. So, you know, that's why I've always said that. Why, you know, if an individual used steroids for a year or two, why is he not inducted into a Hall of Fame? Mm-hmm. That's just saying that steroids makes a human being human. It just doesn't.
Right. Jose Canseco joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Again, the movie Jose Canseco, The Truth Hurts, world premiere Saturday at the Arlington Hotel. Yeah, it's remarkable when you think about that, too, what you just said. And guys that did it, and it's just crazy to me, that whole period, and how some people will lift players up. And now it's become, I think, part of the general conversation nationally, that people say, well, that was a period in time, and we're willing to move on from. I think most people are sort of over it, but it's amazing to me how they will still recognize some of the guys' performances from that period, and some guys they want to sort of, you know, kick to the curb and sort of ignore the accomplishments. Your accomplishments on the field were remarkable. So, you know, and I don't know exactly how you'll be remembered 15, 20, 50 years from now, but your accomplishments on the field certainly are equal to or greater than that of you coming out and telling the truth about the steroid issue.
Right. I think people understand that. You know, this was, baseball has gone through a lot of change and a lot of different eras. And I think there's just an era that, you know, baseball has survived and actually become bigger, faster, stronger because of it. And, you know, fans are coming out in record-breaking numbers. You know, the most ironic thing is, people talk about using performance enhancement, you know, chemicals as cheating, but let's look at it this way. The comic hero Captain America. Now, you have to understand something. This is not Captain Crunch. This is not Captain Brazil. This is not Captain Cuba. This is not Captain Canada. Captain America. Remember, they named it after Captain America. Was created how? On performance-enhancing drugs. So how hypocritical is it?
Yes, well, that, we've cornered the market on hypocrisy here in the United States, so that's not surprising, is it?
Exactly. And when you look at that, when you look at other countries, you must look at us and say, wow, that is the most hypocritical country in the world, the United States, to actually do and say the things they do in the actual media. So now they're making a big stink out of it. Now you need performance-enhancing drugs, that Captain America is a celebrated entity, but now these players who use these PEDs because they were allowed to use these PEDs in this era and cannot be inducted into the Hall of Fame because Major League Baseball is one of the most, if not the most, critical institution in the world. That's beyond me, and that cannot happen.
You probably don't get as many questions as you deserve about your baseball career, so I do want to ask you about one that came to light, and it made me feel a little bit old. The Kirk Gibson home run was 25 years ago in that World Series that you played in, and it was a remarkable, obviously, a hit for him, but it was an interesting series as well. You, and somebody had called earlier in the week and told us that you had hit your first Grand Slam of your career in that game one that you guys ended up losing. I don't know, was that accurate? Is that your first Grand Slam ever?
Ironically enough, I'm watching TV yesterday, and they put the series on, and I just caught it by luck. Yes, it was my first Grand Slam ever, and I ran back like for yesterday. My first at-bat, Belcher threw a fastball up in and actually nicked me in that area. My second at-bat, when I first pitched fastball, I'm thinking, wow, this guy does. He has to pitch to me. His base is loaded. He cannot afford to throw me a fastball for a strike, so I know he's going to throw one of his first breaking, but he threw me a slider. He hung it over the middle of the plate, and I remember hitting a vicious line drive. I didn't think it was going to go out because it was too low, but I hit it extremely hard, and the ball backspun out about 420 feet, and I'll never forget that at bat. I also will not forget, I'm thinking, wow, I could be the MVP of this game because the whole series against the Boston Red Sox, I hit four home runs, and I thought I won the MVP, but Dennis Eckersley came in, and I guess I shot out a couple games. I won a couple games when he became the MVP. So I was thinking, wow, now I have a chance of winning the MVP. Gibson comes out with a limp. All of a sudden, I think full count, exit of the backdoor slider. Boom, Gibby hits that home run. I'm like, oh, my God, we just lost the game. This was amazing. It was a shocker.
Yeah, it was. And it was crazy. And another point that came out was that was your only hit of the series, oddly enough. And for Gibson, it was his only at-bat of the series. And he had to basically talk Lasorda into giving him an opportunity. So, again, those are moments, I think, that will live in, you know, in people's psyche. But it is hard to believe it's been 25 years. And for you, I'm sure it's probably even harder to believe.
It's very hard to believe 25 years has gone by. And you got a tip you had to give you. I mean, you couldn't write a better script. That was an incredible moment in baseball history, actually.
You were in Arkansas not too long ago, and you had a chance to box against our buddy Gary Hogan. It was obviously an exhibition situation. It was a lot of fun for us to get to see Gary, which, you know, his boxing's always been kind of part of him. And he was up here yesterday. We were talking about some things, and one of the things he's talked about you is you've got a public persona, but he said, you know what? He's a really nice guy. That's something that people probably don't take the time to, you know, get to know you as well as maybe they should. But can you talk to me about doing that? And obviously, there was no upside for you. You couldn't come in here and beat up an old dude. But it was a lot of fun for us. It created a lot of talk, and it was a fun exhibition. It's one of the great minor league exhibition events I've ever seen.
Right, it was a great exhibition, and I met Gary. Very nice guy. Actually, the true story about it was that I actually trained a lot for that fight. And what happened was when we first came out there, I met Gary, very nice guy. Wait a minute, I'm in incredible condition. I'm weighing about 255 pounds. I could easily knock him out. And ironically, what happened was that the first bell rung, I just threw a flat jab, and Gary walked right into it by mistake. I think I cut his... I'm like, oh, my God, I've got to do that again. So we kind of pity-patted around. I mean, I kind of orchestrated, meaning put my gloves up. Gary hit me now, close to it. And then if you notice, I never used my right hand. It was just a lot of jabs. As a matter of fact, I think after the first round, his son, I think was playing on the independent baseball team that was there, came up to me, and I'm like, please don't knock my father out. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I'm not there to do this. Next exhibition, it's a whole lot of fun. And I hope the fans enjoyed it.
Please don't kill my dad, Jose. Please don't kill my dad.
Yeah, no way. I was like, no way.
So you mentioned your brother. What's he up to now?
He actually managed a team in the independent baseball there, and actually they won the championship. So maybe he has a career in managing. Who knows?
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you in person. Jose Canseco, The Truth Hurts, the world premiere Saturday. Jose will be here. The writer and director, Bill McAdams, will be here with us. We're actually going to visit with him tomorrow on the show. So we are certainly looking forward to visiting with you and getting a chance to talk to you after the film on Saturday.
It's going to be a very exciting, truthful view of what happened in baseball.
Real quick before we let you go, any picks in the playoffs at this point?
You know, I like Detroit for some reason. I think they may go all the way.
Okay. We got a couple of Arkansans on that team, so that's who we're pulling for. So that's good.
Okay.
Yeah,
they
all right.
Look really good right now.
Good deal. Jose, thanks so much, man. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Good stuff.
Never disappoints. He's been on everything. He's done so many different forms of media, from reality shows to authoring books to, you know, being a part of a documentary that, you know, deals with some unflattering stuff, you know, about him. He handles it with class, has great stories about it. I mean, it's just so interesting.
He's truly entertaining.
Yeah,
that's one thing that I really appreciate about him. He's a real dude.
Well, that's my love him or hate him. I mean, everything he said came to light, and it turned out to be true. So whether you like the guy or not, that's fine. I mean, and some people, you know, think he's a clown or, you know, whatever, but... Hey, it all turned out to be true. So, you know, I don't like telling stories about when I was 7 years old and picked my nose. I mean, to come out and come clean about all the stuff he did, I think, you know, it takes a lot of guts for sure. Especially
when he is
himself
and he's happy about it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I really appreciate it about him. He's happy in his own skin, and that's obvious.
Just for the record, I never juiced. I don't know if that's obvious.
Well, hey, speaking of juicing, how much time do we have?
Not any.
None.
But I do want to hear this story. You set it up nice. Yeah. That's a good team.
It's going to be great.
We're going to talk to Jeff Long. He's also not juicing. He is, however, the chairman of the committee that's going to choose the four teams that make the national championship hunt here in the next year. So we're going to visit with him for about 15 minutes coming up after the break. Stay tuned.